remember that the seed has to fall into the ground and die in order to produce anything.
Do you struggle with being truly thankful today? Elizabeth Elliot says, "I'm one who is having to learn this lesson of gratitude. It's very easy for me to pick the one thing that's wrong rather than concentrate on the 10 things that were right." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of author and teacher Elizabeth Elliot.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. That promise given thousands of years ago by Moses to Joshua is for you and me today, I believe, for all of us who are willing to follow the Lord. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about the fruits of the Spirit. Let's think today about gentleness. How many of you are naturally gentle? Put up a hand. Well, I don't see any hands, but of course I'm in a studio all by myself, but you wouldn't see my hand going up on that one either. No fruits of the Spirit are produced without death. No ordinary fruits are produced without death. Remember that the seed has to fall into the ground and die in order to produce anything. If it dies, it brings forth fruit. The tree springs up, the branches go out, the leaves are produced, the buds of the blossoms, and then the buds open, and the blossoms are there in all their glory. But the beautiful blossoms must fall, the petals must fall before the apple or the pear is produced. And so it is in the spiritual life. Somehow we hope that we shall begin bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives without letting go of our selfishness. It doesn't work that way. God is kind and gentle with us, protecting us by His love from the impact of His awful beauty. And I mean awful, AWEFUL. He is our friend. What a friend for sinners like us. Do you know that beautiful hymn? Jesus, what a friend for sinners. I love that. What a Savior, refuge, hiding place. He says, I am your maker. I love you. I purpose to produce through you these fruits which the world needs so badly. How much gentleness is there in the world? Do you want to produce the fruit of gentleness in your life? How do we do this? Only through the things which without God's Spirit would bring out the opposites. If I am slandered, ridiculed, or my wishes crossed, if I am forgotten or put down, what's my natural reaction? And what, by contrast, is the fruit of the Spirit? Look at Jesus' response to those things. He always saw in the tiresome claims of the people who were constantly after him the overruling claim of his Father, of God. Think of the early church. Imagine all the problems that are described just in the book of Corinthians, for example. Read any of the epistles, and you can find a list of all sorts of really difficult problems. Well, so what else is new, we would say? Look at your church. Do you find in your church quarrelsome people, pushy people, contentious, people who are lusting for power and position, and hopeless people? Just today, as I was preparing, I had a call from a friend about her mother-in-law. She was seemingly a hard old woman, but she was gentled by her daughter-in-law's love and kindness. Her daughter-in-law I know very well. She is a woman of great gentleness. And although everyone else thought of this mother-in-law as a hard, impossible person to get along with, in her old age, her daughter-in-law, by her own gentleness and love and kindness, succeeded in gentling that old lady. Nobody needs this lesson that we're having today more than I do. I know that I need to repent for not being gentle. Are you gentle with your wife or your husband? Gentle with your children? Gentle with that employee that has perhaps made a real mess of the job you gave him? But maybe he tried. Maybe he was honest in his efforts. Maybe he was just plain sloppy. You still have to be gentle, don't you, in your correction? How swift we are to judge, swift to speak, and sometimes very slow to sympathize. What do I know of that other person's sufferings, of their struggles with sins that I'm not tempted by when I feel impatient? Do I know the long road that they've traveled already when I think they've just begun? Far more, let's remember, is hidden than meets the eye. God knows them. I don't. He knows their circumstances. He knows their struggles. Then let me remember my own struggles with obedience, my awareness of my own weakness and failure, the sense of futility, of wasting time, of not being able to get this talk finished, or to prepare the talks that I needed to prepare for Mississippi when I was working on this same talk. Sort of a feeling as though I couldn't get through, I couldn't get on with the job, I couldn't get to it, get at it, get in it, get through it. You know what I mean? God's gentleness. Gentleness even with myself. Now, that's something that I wouldn't want to emphasize too strongly because most of us are far too gentle with ourselves and we need to be a little bit tougher. But every now and then, even the toughest needs to be gentle and realize that we're made of dust. And God knows our frames and remembers that we are dust. Long-suffering and gentleness are qualities greatly needed in dealing with our own souls and unsatisfactory lives. Only the peace of God and a constant turning in our prayers to His peace, His tranquility, His quietness will teach us and make us realize that patience with ourselves is a duty for Christians, and it is the only real humility. St. Francis de Sales and Evelyn Underhill and others have helped me to see that to be impatient with myself is a form of pride. It's as if me acting like this, why, I thought I was better than this. It means patience with a growing creature whom God has taken in hand and whose completion He will effect in His own time and His own way. Rest in the Lord, said the psalmist. Wait patiently on Him, and He shall give thee thy heart's desire. The more central this thought becomes, the less difficult I find its outward expression. Long-suffering and gentleness in all the encounters of everyday life. When I get on the phone and want to make a phone call real quick, and I get a busy signal, I'm tempted to be impatient. If the person finally comes on and puts me on hold, then I'm very likely not to be gentle with that person when I finally get to them. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently on Him. He is, after all, in charge of my time, of every second, of every minute, of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year. My times are in His hands. Why shouldn't I be patient and gentle? The more I realize this, the more patience and long-suffering the Lord works in me. Now, it's not always easy to entertain that pair of heavenly twins, gentleness and long-suffering. We can't manage it at all without the help of the Holy Spirit and constant prayer that God will help us. Yet even from the most practical point of view, long-suffering is as necessary a factor in our ordinary lives as in the art of prayer. The constant tension that we experience in modern life, resisting this, grasping that, pressing forward, never relaxing, never lying quiet, destroys the strongest in the end and wastes precious energy all the time. doctors tell us how much stress does to our physical bodies. What about all the heart attacks and the cancer? How much of it is just because we have not learned love, joy, peace, patience, and gentleness? On every level of life, from housework to heights of prayer, in all judgments and all efforts to get things done, hurry and impatience are sure marks of the amateur. My mother used to say, haste makes waste. Do it patiently, do it quickly, but not hurriedly. I think there's a difference there. Do it efficiently, as quickly as you can, and do it well at the same time. But when you get sloppy and slapdash because you're trying to do it faster than you can properly do it, that indicates an impatient spirit. A great artist treats his material with gentleness and reverence. A carpenter, have you ever watched the way a carpenter handles his tools? It's with loving care, gentleness, patience. A great teacher never drives or hustles his pupil. A great mountain climber waits till conditions are suitable before trying the awkward traverse. All these accept conditions and conform to them. And so we must do in spiritual life. It's God who gives the conditions. It's our business to accept them with humility and accept them quietly. May the Holy Spirit produce in you and me this day gentleness.
Anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.